looking again in Mark's Gospel, 8th chapter. Read verses 11 through 13. The Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek after a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them and get into a boat again, departed to the other side. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. The Pharisees confronted Jesus, and they were looking for some spectacular sign, some earth-shattering event blazing across the sky, defying the laws of nature and astonishing people. They were looking for God in the abnormal, the unusual. If Jesus, they thought, would produce some spectacular sign from heaven, then they would believe in and follow him. But Jesus knew better, and history teaches us better. The spectacular may produce awe. It may produce temporary interest. It does not usually produce long-range commitment and discipleship. It often produces more doubt, more skepticism. Now, as you doubt this, well, think of it. What would it take for your faith to be stable, to be rock solid, and you'd never doubt again? What kind of a sign would you need to remain faithful? Dare I say tonight, there is no such sign. You may not agree with me, but consider the record. First of the children of Israel in Egypt and during the Exodus. You remember the nation of Israel had wound up in Egypt and there had been slaves for many years, and they cried out to God, and God called Moses and sent him to deliver them from their bondage in Egypt. And after Moses got there and confronted Pharaoh and he refused to let them go, God brought upon the Egyptian people 10 miraculous signs, 10 mighty events to convince Pharaoh to allow Israel to leave Egypt. You remember them? There was a water becoming blood. There was a plague of frogs, of lice, of flies, of sickness and death for the Egyptian livestock, but not of the people of Israel. The plague of boils, of hail, of locusts, of darkness for 3 days, and finally the death of the firstborn. And after this took place, all these great signs and wonders, Pharaoh, might say, ordered Moses to take the children of Israel and to leave Egypt. But before they left, you remember, they asked the people there for gifts. And they, the scripture said, they plundered the Egyptians. They took their gold and their silver and their finest raiments with them. And after these 10 miraculous signs, they left Emmaus from Egypt. You would think they'd never forget. But in a few days, they arrive at the shore of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's changed his mind, and he's following after him with his army, and the people cry out to Moses, saying, "Why did you bring us out here? Why didn't you let us die back there? It's because there are no graves here." And Moses said, "Just stand still and see the salvation of God, for he will fight for you." And God said to Moses, "Don't just stand there crying out to me. Tell the children of Israel to go forward." And where there was no way, God made a way. You remember with the parting of the Red Sea. And they went through the Red Sea as on dry ground. And the army of Pharaoh followed and they were all drowned. If we saw some sign like that, we'd never have another doubt. But it's not long till the people begin to complain and murmur. They said, "What are we going to eat out here? Wish we were back in Egypt where we had all those good cucumbers and all the flesh pots to eat from. Why are we out here? Couldn't we have just stayed there? Let's go back." God, remember, sent manna from heaven. And they complained about that after a while. Said, "We're getting tired of this manna. We want some meat to eat." And so the God sent them quail. You might say they had quail on toast. But still they complained. They got thirsty. And he brought forth water from the rock. Amazing. All kinds of signs. Led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. One mighty miracle after another. And if you had experienced this, you would never have doubted God again, would you? Well, you might think so. But there was a constant doubting and complaining and bickering among the children of Israel. And of all the thousands of adults that left Egypt, only two, Joshua and Caleb, only two, trusted and believed and continued and persevered until they reached the promised land. All the signs, all the miracles didn't keep the people faithful. When you come to the New Testament, we see Jesus feeding the multitudes, healing the sick of all kinds of illnesses, restoring sight to the blind, giving hearing to the deaf, and speech to those who could not talk. We find Jesus even, on at least two occasions, raising the dead. What did these signs produce? Well, people followed him for a time. He said, on one occasion, you came to get more bread. Not to hear what I had to say. They followed him out of curiosity. He was popular for a while. But when the way became difficult, they forsook him and fled. Even his disciples, who'd seen so many wondrous miracles from his hands, one of them betrayed him. One denied ever knowing him. And the other 10 forsook him and fled. The religious leaders, they said, this fellow does cast out demons only by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. You know, it's really questionable whether all of his miracles that Jesus performed produce one enduring disciple. If all of his miracles produce one enduring disciple. In Luke 16, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember the story? Lazarus begged at the rich man's gate, and he died, and angels came and carried him into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he asked Father Abraham to send someone to give warning to his family, to his brothers, that they might not come to the place where he was. He said, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham answered, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. We tend to respond to this by saying, well, I know if someone came to me that had risen from the dead with some kind of a message of warning, I'd surely listen. But would you? If you would, why not listen to Jesus? He's risen from the dead, and He's Lord. As you say, it's been a long time since all the wonders happened in Egypt. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus lived on this earth and did the miracles that He did. If I could see some sign, some miracle today, then I would believe. Would you? How do most of us react to testimonies of healing or conversion? I suspect I've shared this before, but I want to do it again. Wendell's mother developed oral cancer. The doctor did all that he could for her. Cancer ate a hole through the side of her face. Wendell said she'd seen a mother reach into the side of her face and pick out pieces of her jawbone. They had a specialist in Birmingham, and he said, I've done all that I can do. There's no more that can be done. If she's still alive and able to come in 4 weeks' time, I'd like to see her again. No charge. I'd just like to see the progress of this. Her mother told me herself, She came home and got down beside of her bed at night and prayed that God would allow her to live to see her children grown. And she said a light shone around her. And a voice told her to go to the kitchen and get something to eat. She hadn't eaten anything. She got up and went to the kitchen and found a cold biscuit and ate it. And she didn't go back to the doctor for 17 years. Well, the doctor must have been wrong. You know, it's a misdiagnosis. No, the hole is still there in the side of her face. Her face is all crooked and drawn. It's a work of God that allowed her to see every one of her children grown and married. It allowed me to hear her pray. Didn't talk too plain after her face was so torn and drawn. But I never heard anybody pray and speak the word Father with such love. You know, if you had a sign like that, you should never doubt. If a person has a healing ministry today, we are skeptical. Was it all a show? People there, were they paid to come in their wheelchairs and on crutches? Those that claimed to be healed, were they really sick? And if they were sick and were healed, did the healing last? How many people come to believe because of unusual signs? But this is also the case when someone is wonderfully converted. I read some time ago of Bob McAllister, who at the time was a deputy chief of staff for the governor of South Carolina. I read his story of his encounter with Rusty Wilmer. Rusty was a killer of four innocent people in one of South Carolina's most notorious murder sprees. And Bob was visiting prisoners on death row as a volunteer for prison fellowship when he met Rusty. Listen to the stories Bob told him. He said, "Late in the evening, I walked into the last cell. I saw a sight I will never forget. Rusty, his face the color of chalk, sitting on the floor, motionless, crawling aimlessly like so many drunks. Dozens of roaches covering the walls and the floor. But what froze my soul were the roaches crawling on the man, his lap, his shoulders, and such was his despair that it even flicked them off." He said, "I sat down on the floor and tried to talk to him. He could not talk back. He just stared. It was a perfect picture of sin, filthy, degrading, and hopeless. In vain, I tried to rouse a response. Frustrated and scared, I prayed aloud that God would cut through the evil in that cell and pierce the heart of its inhabitant. Rusty, just say the word Jesus, I plead." With much effort, he pursed his lips together and whispered, "Jesus." "Just look at you," I gently chided. "Your cell's filth and so are you. The roaches have taken over and you're spiritually a dead man, son. Jesus can give you something better." Asked Rusty if he wanted to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and through tears he nodded, and then he prayed, "Jesus, I've hurt a lot of people. Ain't no way I deserve you to hear me, but I'm tired, I'm sick, and I'm lonely. My mama's died, she's in heaven with you, and I never got to tell her goodbye. Please forgive me, Jesus, for everything I've done. I don't know much about you, but I'm willing to learn. And I thank you for listening to me." Bob said, I went back to see him the following Monday. I walked up to his cell, and it was spotless. The walls were scrubbed, the bed was made, and the scent of disinfectant hung in the air. Bob, how do you like it? Explained a smiling, energized Rusty. I spent all weekend cleaning out my cell, because I figured that's what Jesus wanted me to do. Rusty, I blurted, it took all weekend to clean out your cell, but it took Jesus an instant to clean out your heart. What's your reaction to a story like this? Again, are we not often skeptical and doubtful? It's just an attempt, we might think, to get out of prison or at least to save his life. It's not real. It surely won't last. 4.5 years passed. All Rusty's appeals were turned down. On April 27th, 1990, Rusty was put to death for his crimes. Some 6 hours before his death, he spoke to Bob. You know, Pops, he said, I feel real happy. I just want to go on home now. I don't want to stay here. I just feel real peaceful, and I know Mama's waiting for me up there. His last words as he strapped him into the electric chair were, I'm sorry for what I've done. And I claim Jesus Christ as my Savior. My only wish that everyone in the world could feel the love I felt from him. Signs, wonders, miracles, they're all around us if we look with the eyes of faith. Commenting in on this passage, Harold Luckett said, Jesus answered, no sign shall be given. And the answer still holds. Or rather, and this is God's final answer to all of our human eagerness for dazzling signs, a sign has already been given. Jesus himself. To those who try, Jesus' way of life becomes its own evidence. They do have a sign. They become aware of one who speaks to them through love and duty. Aware not of something, but of somebody. Are you still looking for a sign? You say, if I could only see a great miracle, then I'd believe. After all, seeing is believing. Man says, oh no, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Interesting to me, on the first Easter morning and the days that followed, there's no record of Jesus appearing to anybody who didn't believe. He appeared to those who already believed. Believing, they saw him. Believing, you see him. Look at what God has done. Look at what God is doing. Look with eyes of faith and see. And then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be saved. You and your household. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came. A sign, final proof of God's love for us. Truly, God has shown and clearly proved his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Help us to see all the wonders of the world around us and all the miracles that you work in our individual lives and not doubt, but believe. And it's in your wonderful name that we pray.